can't just Arrowhead give them. I mean, it seems when things are going well.
Yeah, that stadium is one. That's been one of the loudest in the venues I've been to, one of the loudest outdoor venues I've been to, because their fan base is really into it. And so it can become, that's why we work crowd noise here for that reason, is that they can become very loud there.
The way that you guys used to do scouting here, if I remember correctly, you guys were all pretty much involved, the Raiders assistants, when Al was here, in terms of scouting players.
Okay.
And I'm curious, what was your take on Brady Quinn then? Did you talk to him? Did you have him out here?
We did have him out here. We visited with him. In fact, John DeFilippo, our quarterback coach, and I were together with him, and John put him through a pretty rigorous interview process. Thought he did a fine job in the interview process, extremely bright, understood football. Based on what the coaches had told us and his interaction, he really seemed to love football and was always around it, involved to do the extra stuff before practice, after practice. And so I was very impressed with him.
Was there any, I mean, without being specific, was there any sentiment from anybody that maybe he could be the guy that you would take?
At that point, I don't know. I mean, it was still a pretty good battle because on tape, there was three guys, I believe, that year came out, that there was a pretty good competition going on that said, okay, you really have a chance with any three of these to make it work. And so I couldn't say that any one early on in the draft process.
You said, quarterback?
At quarterbacks, yeah. At quarterback. I got to remember. See, you're going to call me on names there. It's... Yeah. That wasn't Stafford's year, was it?
Quinn didn't go to 22.
I thought there was three in that first round, though. So, okay.
So, what do you expect to see?
Well, it's like last week we kind of mentioned. This is the second week in a row we're facing a team that had a bye week. So we're going to get some unscouted looks like we did last week against Jacksonville. So we've got to stick to our rules and our protections and our run game to overcome something that we haven't seen on tape. But from a defensive standpoint, these guys really fly to the ball. They had a tough game against Tampa Bay. But outside of that, you see 11 hats go to the ball. They've got good athletic speed. They're very talented. They've got 6 first-round picks on the starting 11 on defense. So I see a very talented defense. They've been playing a lot more man in their scheme because of Stanford this year, and they're using his man skills, coverage skills, and he's still doing a very, very fine job as far as one-on-one coverage. So that's increased a lot from their scheme in the past because of his ability to cover man. He's done a fine job.
Greg, Carson was saying when he's running the huddle, you're calling a lot of the plays. But how much freedom do you give him?
As much as he's willing to take, but there's a good communication going on right now. It's like the third base coach, you know, giving the signal. There's sometimes where he'll wave me off or something like that, and that's okay because he's running the stuff that we've practiced the most and they're most comfortable with. But I want to be there to aid him and see some looks that say and give him some suggestions because there's a lot on his plate as it is as a quarterback and to do no huddle. But it's really worked out well as far as the communication process go to try to identify maybe from my perspective, okay, here comes a blitz from a certain side or a certain coverage, so this would be the best play to put us in.
You guys have had
I think it's good right now because it's like any offense. If you do one thing all the time in this league, the defensive coordinators and defensive teams will start preparing for it and have specific things that will defeat that. But if you have it as a weapon and you can use it at different times of the game, then they've got to prepare for not only no huddle but the regular part of the offense. And so it's a good changeup, and it'll catch a defense, you know, by surprise better than if you did it all the time.
Coach, what are your
– going to use the bulk of the clock. If he's going to wait till 5 seconds, let's say, to see what they're in, shift at the last second, knowing that you already can talk to the past 15 or
yeah.
So, what are the keys that you want to get to say, knowing that he might have to change it a couple of times after?
Well, one of the things is we make sure we have certain plays in where we don't go all the way until 5 seconds left. So we from a operation standpoint, we'll have certain plays in where we call and line up and let's go. And we get it done with 20 seconds left on the clock to keep a defense on us. But there's certain go-to plays in the run game and the pass game that no matter what the defense presents, we have either the protection that can handle it or the run fits will handle it. So he'll know if he's inside that 15-second zone. Okay, I got to call one of those plays that handle any defensive look they might present.
Coach, what are your thoughts on how Carson responds to adversity?
when he's got a lot of pressure. And
He's been one of the finest guys I've been around. Have we had, three games this year in the fourth quarter where we've had to work from behind, and he's really kept his cool throughout all this. Not only adversity from a score game, a score in the game, but, you know, he's had some tough hits he's taken, and he bounces up. He doesn't say a word about what happened, why are we doing this. He just goes, all right, what was the problem? How do we fix it? All right, let's move on. And he's one of the coolest cats I've ever been around on game day, handling adverse situations. And it's enjoyment to work with, because he just goes to the next down. Whether it was last one was good or bad, he goes to the next down. And that showed up in the Atlanta game, and it showed up again here this week. It showed up in Pittsburgh on the fourth quarter. It's a unique quality, because it's hard to find that in a quarterback when a lot of stuff's coming at you.
At halftime, you got 12 minutes from the time you walk up the field. Say it takes you a minute and a half or two to get in and out. Yeah. Now, down to about 8 or 9. A lot of people have this image that you can go in there and you can change everything, but you've got a limited amount of time. Yeah. Give us a feel for what you're able to accomplish.
Very good question. It starts in the second quarter. It actually starts before the game. One of our strategies is we'll have maybe a second half list of ideas that if we don't use in the first half, we'll make sure to apply in the beginning of the second half, as long as the defensive scheme hasn't changed. So it starts before the game starts. We have these list of ideas that we don't plan on using in the first half, that we might use in the second half. And then secondly, at halftime, you know, the players come off, use the restroom, get a rinse, get rehydrated. And then after like about 2 or 3 minutes in, we have the offense broken up, defense broken up, and we say, all right, here's our list of ideas for runs and passes that we're going to start with. And that starts occurring at the end of the second quarter, where John DeFilippo up in the press box is working with one of our assistants, Nick Holtz, with some ideas that I had and what they may see upstairs to create a second half list. So a lot of it's done before we actually start the second half, or before we start halftime. Good stuff?
Yes.
All right.
Thanks,
very
guys.
Good.